recording. It's fine.
Okay.
Welcome to Blast to the Past, a show where we revisit the media that shaped our culture. My name's Landry Smith, and I'm with my co-host today, Tab Blankenship. How are you doing, Tab?
I am stressed. Landry, how are you?
I am delirious because of a lack of sleep. This week has been just... It's honestly been an awesome week for me. I'm so sorry that you're stressed. But there have just been a lot of things in succession that have kept me up past my normal bedtime. But, you know, all of them are like, none of them were like pressing needs in my life. They were all just kind of like, oh, I want to do this. So I'm going to do it.
Well, congratulations on getting that Switch too. I know it really, really meant a lot to you.
Yeah, I got a pre-order last night, stayed up till 12. It did, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I got to say, the stressful my week has been, it was nice to have a very low stress movie like The Shining to really, you know, ease my mind at night.
Yeah, so today we are discussing The Shining. I feel like this has happened a lot already, and I feel like people are going to listen and just be like, this guy just loves everything. And I really don't. I'm actually kind of like, to people that know me really well, I'm kind of considered like a little pretentious and snobby, but like with my taste in movies, I'm not like a pretentious person at all. But The Shining is one of my favorite films, and I've seen it a lot. I really enjoy this movie, but I haven't seen it in probably the past 5 years or so. What is your relationship with the film?
Never seen it in my life.
Wow.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that I've always wanted to watch. I just got to feel like you have to because it's so well known and a lot of people talk about it.
Yeah.
And I've seen so many clips. I'm probably going to repeat that multiple times in this podcast, but it's just one of those movies where, you know, you're just watching it something else and you'll see a homage to it, or you'll see a quote, or you'll see a clip somewhere on the internet where it's just a scene from The Shining, and there's a million of them. It's not just one. There's so much in this movie that you just pick up in pop culture. So even when it was my first time seeing it, I felt like I hadn't seen it, but I recognized it, if that makes any sense.
Yes. Well, a little later on in the show, we're going to rank the top five most iconic scenes from the movie. So,
oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. But yeah, today we are discussing The Shining's 1980 film from Stanley Kubrick, legendary film director. And this movie's about a number of things, but it's about isolation and cabin fever and ESP and ghosts that look very real. Like none of that like holographic tinted blue stuff in this movie. But The Shining follows Jack Torrance, played by Jack Nicholson, and his wife Wendy, played by Shelley Duvall, and his son Danny, played by Danny Lloyd. And Jack is a recovering alcoholic of 5 months. He's been on the wagon for 5 months, and he takes a seasonal live-in maintenance job isolated away from all of society and everyone that he knows, except for his family, in the snowy mountains of Colorado at a hotel resort that can only be accessed by a road called the Sidewinder, which apparently has snowed over pretty heavily every winter. So we follow Jack and Wendy and Danny over this winter as Jack grows just increasingly isolated and insane and isolated from his family and reality. And man, it, like you said, it is not necessarily an easy coast of a watch. It's very stressful. It's very intense. And with that, I think we should just get right into it.
Oh.
Let's hit Tab's notes.
Oh, okay. All right. You caught me off guard. You really, you know, it was zigged when I thought you were going to bang. All right. Oh, The Shining, 1980. So before I get started, so you're saying the Sidewinder was the road. I thought the Sidewinder was the vehicle that they like drove on.
Maybe I misinterpreted that. I thought the road was called the Sidewinder.
You've seen it 10 times. I've seen it once. It's probably me.
Well,
This movie, Jack Nicholson, Shelley Duvall. The movie begins with the car. Was it just Jack Nicholson? Is that the only one? Was it just him? Was it just Jack? Or was it Jack and Shelley Duvall going, there's just a car.
Yeah,
it's just Jack driving.
It's just Jack because he's driving to the interview at that point.
That's right. So he's driving his car up this nice mountain. Some very ominous music plays. I really like the soundtrack of this movie.
I do too. It's great. The sound is awesome.
May not be something you can just throw on when you're driving, you know. But
no question.
It's good for what it was. Okay. And then there was some very, did you notice the very strange aquamarine title cards?
There's some stark color choices on the title cards for sure.
Yeah. I'll just say this, didn't love it. Didn't love it. You know, I was digging things up until then. And then we see.
Very of its era.
Yeah. And we see Jack in this interview. Okay. He's interviewing some guy. I have no idea what's going on at this point. Okay. I'm just completely lost. And can we talk about the head of hair on the guy that was interviewing. I mean, this was not a man with hair on top. This was hair with a man on bottom. All right. Like this hair called all the shots in this man's life. It was comical. It was so weird. Like, it wasn't real. Do you think it's a toupee?
No, it's got to be a toupee.
Okay.
Yeah. Classic toupee look.
It was enormous. But it fooled me. I didn't know. I just thought it was like the 1980s hairstyles where there was a lot of hairspray and just going for volume.
It was like a Conan O'Brien, but like even more good.
Yeah. And then we flashed, I guess, back home, and it's Shelley Duvall at the dinner table with her, probably having lunch or something with Danny. Okay. And Danny, did you see how the boy was eating that sandwich?
No, I never, didn't catch my eye.
Okay. So he's a little kid, so the sandwich is like extra big, right? It goes like way, like past both sides of his face. And he is just eating bite after bite straight down the middle of the sandwich, like he's drilling for oil.
Yeah,
he's just going
that's unhinged.
Down the middle. It was, the kid's got a lot to learn about eating sandwiches, all right? Like, I could just see like jelly all the side of his cheek. I mean, at some point, he was going to eat straight through it and was just going to have like a sandwich in each hand. Let's see. Shelley Duvall. Let's talk about Shelley Duvall for a second, because I can't really name too many Shelley Duvall movies, but she's a name I always heard. And she is giving off full West Virginia vibes in this one. I mean,
she is such an interesting look, and like her eyes are so, like, you never forget them when you see them. She was in a movie called Three Women, I think, that was quite popular in the 70s. I never saw that one. She's in Popeye 1980. I think that was a pretty popular movie back then.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, she's just been a consistent Hollywood actress her whole entire life, from like mid-1960s all the way through up almost to her death. And I think she died in 2024, actually. So.
Wow.
I think she's just a regular in Hollywood, you know? She doesn't necessarily have that, like, star role, except for The Shining. That's what I always think of her.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you told me she was the only employee at Dollar General, I'd believe you. I mean, just, she was giving off a vibe early on where I was like, how did this woman would not make it in Hollywood today, but the 1970s and 80s, okay.
Well, you look up some of her other roles, and she has, like, almost like a high fashion model look. Like, she has, like, she looks weird in The Shining, and I think that that's intentional. She has, like, they play up her eccentricities. I don't know why I'm struggling with that word right now, but she's just really, like, sporadic almost. I don't know. I think she does a really great job of performance. She is. It's very odd to look at her in this movie, though. I always feel that way.
Yeah. We'll go back to the interview, and Jack Nicholson is doing his best Jack Nicholson impression. And this is just, I don't know your feelings on Jack Nicholson, but for me, I think he's a bit overrated. Like, I think he does a good job of playing Jack Nicholson and doesn't really stray often from that. So that's why I think maybe he might be a true psycho in real life, because all of his best roles, he's the bad guy. You know, like Batman.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Okay, Departed. Haven't seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. That's one of the things I kind of, movie and The Shining, I had a lot of things, because I've never seen either one of them until now. I've seen one, and I had a lot of expectations in my head of, oh, here comes the scene. Turns out, I think it's from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I kept getting the two films confused.
Well, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is awesome. It's really good. It's not just like, oh, this is a good movie. It's a fun watch, too. And then there's a movie that by the way, Jack Nicholson, I probably would consider him my favorite or second favorite actor. I do, however, think you're right that he is, I think he has a limited range. I wouldn't say that he's one of those actors like, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis or Joaquin Phoenix that can do like a whole wide range of characters. Like, he is definitely, and Kubrick even commented on this in the interview I was reading, that like when he wrote this part, he wanted it to be Jack Nicholson. And he thinks he's one of the best of his craft, but he talks about how like he has a range and this is perfect for it. Five Easy Pieces, though, man, that movie, it's a little lesser known. He's really incredible in that, and a completely different character. He plays like he's this dropout from college who gets a job in Pennsylvania as like working in the steel mills and just spends his time getting drunk in the bars and like just kind of like a seedy underbelly of the city. It's kind of like a weird, almost like indie movie that was made in the 70s. Actually, I think it might even be late 60s, but that's a really good one.
I'll check that out. So Jack Nicholson is talking with the hair, and the hair tells Jack a little story. So at this point, so Jack's telling him, like, in an interview, like, yeah, I'm a writer, I'm a teacher, I want to do something different. And then it kind of comes to light that, you know, he will be like a groundskeeper of some sort for this hotel. And I'm sitting here thinking, that's an interesting turn. I did not think this is where the movie was going. I was very lost up until this point. And it's still kind of early. And then the hare tells him a story about the previous caregiver. And I think he undersells it a little bit. Once you get to the end of the movie, you kind of realize the hare kind of undersold the severity of what's going on here.
Yes.
But basically that the previous caregiver has killed his family with an axe and blew his brains out. So welcome. When do you start?
He does say that he chopped them into little bitty pieces, doesn't he? Or is that later on in the movie that Jack says that?
But yeah, I don't recall. There was a lot of references to axes and
movie. Chopped up people. Yeah, you're right.
Then we come back to Danny, and pretty sure he's crazy. Pretty sure that child is insane. He has a best friend, his index finger named Tony. And then
he says he lives in his mouth, but he always does this whenever he talks. That's always bothered me.
Yeah, just moves it like the ET, just moves his little finger. And I just assumed Tony was his finger.
Dude,
who's seen this 10 times and someone who saw it.
You know what's really wild, though? And this is like one of my favorite facts about this movie is that Danny was 5 years old when they were shooting this, the actor. And Kubrick and Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall, everybody on set, never told him it was a horror movie, and he never knew it was a horror movie. Like, all of the terrifying scenes, like, he thought it was a family drama. So, like, he was never allowed in when there was, like, any blood or any of the ghosts or anything. And all the scenes where, like, Wendy's carrying him away from Jack, it's like a doll. It's not him, you know? So there's a lot of, like, stuff they did to where they kept the whole, like, plot away from him except for his scenes.
Well, the kid did a fantastic job. For a 5-year old.
Great actor. Really good actor. Literally in nothing else the rest of his life, but great actor.
Yeah. So we now just randomly see a hallway full of blood, like a blood, I call it the blood flood, when it's just, you know, it's just like a hallway.
So much better than what I had down. Ocean of blood is what I put, but blood flood. Blood flood's
ocean
better.
Of blood works. So the blood flood's coming, and I was like, oh, I recognize this. This is one of those scenes where, you know, you just see it. You just see it online, or you see it like a reference to it or something, pop culture, or whatever. And then we get the twins. The twins are also a big, it's just like hit you back to back, like blood flood, twins, and you're like, whoa, okay, now all the hits are starting to come, you know?
Right.
And then Danny speaks to like a doctor or something and realizes, oh, okay, he's certifiably crazy. His West Virginia mother is smoking a Virginia Slim. And at one point she's talking to the doctor, and I don't know if you noticed the ash on that cigarette was that like 2.5 inches long at one point. Like, it was pretty crazy. You gotta ash that thing before you stay on the couch.
Was this? I feel like this came up in another movie we watched from like the 70s, where the ash was. I wonder if actors or actresses, they're like so caught up in playing the role that they just let the cigarette burn for so long. I think it was Breakfast at Tiffany's, where she had an ash that was like 3 inches long.
Yeah, and cigarette ash will always give away to the audience when there's been an edit. So you do a reshoot, and the cigarette ash is like short, and then it's long, and it's short again.
Oh, yeah,
you get that a lot of times. So maybe they're just like, yo, just let it burn. Like, don't. Like, don't hash it, because then we got to, like, you know, go and check the film and find out how long it was and, like, reshoot. Just let it burn. Now we got Danny driving, or Jack driving his family up there. Here comes the hare. He's back. Gives him a nice little tour. Could that guy wear hats? Do you think the hare could possibly even put a hat on?
No way. Well, the toupee in and of itself is the hat, right?
That is technical. You are correct. Could he put a second hat on?
I don't know. I don't know how that would work. That'd be interesting. I'd love to see it, though. Maybe in The Shining 3.
Yeah. So now Danny's like floating around, and he finds the twins, right? Doesn't Danny see the twins like in the hallway?
In that, yeah, I think he does right in that moment. Yeah.
Yeah. And at that point, because
he's playing in like the banquet, and then they come into the room with him.
Yeah.
The banquet hall.
The twins were a weird one because they seem to just disappear and never be seen again.
Right.
Right. Like, they never like come out of a room or nothing. You never talk to them.
Yeah.
You just see them. The hotel's very cool. That's one thing, like, to me, the fourth cast member of this movie is the hotel.
Yeah, absolutely. You're totally right about that.
Yeah. It's like, if you ever watched one of my favorites, Ex Machina.
Oh, yes.
Like, the house is, you know, the fourth main character. And then there's the fourth lady, the second robot lady.
Yeah,
but
great
you don't
movie.
See her that often. Yeah, love that movie. Such a good movie. Hotel is very swanky. This is like Donald Trump's wet dream, this hotel. The gold room. He would have an absolute Trump-gasm if he walked in that room. The gold room.
Yes.
Which is really cool. I'm not going to be honest with you. And I'm not a big fan of the color gold. Or anything gold. Like, I'm not a gold guy. It's just kind of, to me, it's kind of tacky. Looks very 1980s, 1970s to me when I say gold.
It's like a pink gold. It felt like a pink gold to me. Maybe that was just the tint of my TV.
Then we meet the chef, the chef of the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a very back and forth relationship in my head with this guy, the chef, because at first I thought he was like up to no good, and then I'm like,
Right.
oh, he's the good guy. Turns out he's the good guy, and I was starting to wonder, is he going to go back to being a bad guy and a good guy? And I don't know. This guy had a very, and you don't see him often, but when you do, he's kind of an important deal. The
Yeah.
chef,
He's just so he's disarming. I mean, I think that yeah, he's got that ESP power. So like, I don't know, Kubrick does a good job of capturing how like different he is than everybody else. But yeah, I expected him. I remember when I first saw him, expecting him to be a bad guy too. Like I couldn't get my head around the fact that he wasn't a bad guy.
yeah, it
It
was tough. I
seems.
mean, it was giving off total Stranger Danger vibes with that little 5-year-old. And I was like, uh-oh, like we got
Yeah.
something there that's not going to be good. And I was wrong. So they give them the tour. They show them where all the food is. They got tons of food for the winter. You know, they could be up there. I don't even know how long. What is it? 3 to 6 months, something like that. What was
Yeah.
the something? Okay.
October to April. It was longer than I anticipated them saying.
And then we get Danny biking his way on his little Fisher-Price type bike through the hotel. And that's another scene that you see often. Like
Oh
that's
yeah.
one to me, that's one of those
True.
iconic scenes.
I love the sound in that scene. Like for some reason that tricycle's creepy. Like, just the sound of it. You anticipate some kind of danger coming.
And at this point, everyone seems to be gone from the hotel except for Jack, General, and Danny. Okay. And Jack is doing exactly what I would do. He's like in the biggest lobby room in the entire building, and he's just throwing a tennis ball as hard as he can off the wall. Bro, I would do that for days if I was in his
Yeah,
position.
that would be fun. No
That
question.
seems like fun. Like I love throwing tennis balls off the wall and catching it on the bounce.
Classic wall ball, you know?
Yeah, wall ball.
Whatever happened to
Exactly.
wall ball? I guess you're the only guy who still does it, but man.
Do you think kids today are still playing wall ball? Do you think three boys are outside like wall ball?
Definitely not enough. Definitely not enough.
Milk cartons killed that.
Why? How?
Oh, that's why I've heard that the reason parents today are like helicopter parents and don't want kids to go outside and are all worried because of milk carton.
Okay.
Because back when, you know, in the 80s and stuff, 70s, maybe in the 80s, missing children were on milk cartons. And so they were always seeing missing kids. They were getting their heads like things aren't so safe. Every time you go to the store and buy milk, there's another missing kid, you know?
You're okay,
So
got it.
milk cartons have, in a way, have maybe like changed society and just unintended, you know?
Yeah, it started with milk cartons, ended with Instagram.
Yeah.
Now we can't
Yeah.
even leave our bedrooms.
Exactly. So then they got this cool maze, the wood maze, giving off very Harry Potter vibes. You
Yes,
know, this
yeah.
like this, I was really like that. Overhead shot of the maze was great. A lot of cool shots in this movie.
100%.
Kid pedals to room 237, doors locked. Nuts on this kid, dude. Danny is like a curious kid, and he has no problem going to room 237.
Right.
A cool shot of Jack writing at the typewriter. That seemed to be a scene I've seen a lot. Was to the, kind of, I believe it was shot from like the bottom up. Like
Yeah.
that was an interesting shot there. It's very clear early on that cabin fever has set in almost immediately for
Yeah, it
Jack Nicholson.
doesn't take but like 2 days for this
Yeah.
guy to like just be completely losing his mind.
Yeah. So, and already you can tell Dollar General is like, this is going to be a long winter because she is just getting yelled at like for no reason. You know, she's going to have no friends there. All she has is one adult, and he just snaps. Like then day two. Phones are dead. They have a radio. That's fun.
Yeah.
Danny peddled into the twins. They say, come play with us. That's a big one.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
definitely, and I yeah, come play with us forever and ever and ever.
Yeah. At this point, Jack is full-blown lost it, yells at his wife. The kid finds room 237 and now it's unlocked. That's weird. And the door is wide open. Jack has a bad dream and freaks the F out. Dreamt about killing up his whole family, chopping them up, blood everywhere, just gory as hell. Sorry, Danny, don't watch. So Shelley Duvall immediately knows that she is so screwed in this movie. Fourth thing. What was weird, this is where I started to be like, okay, this movie is going to be bananas. When Jack then walks into the gold room, I believe, goes up to the bar, which is an empty bar, and there's no bartender, and suddenly there's a bartender.
Right.
Explain this to me. What is going on here?
Okay, so I think what this movie does really well for me is that up until that moment, and honestly, I think you could even argue like up until the moment that the ghost like lets him out of the freezer at the end, you just think that like this is a movie that is about isolation in Cabin Fever and the psychological break in Jack Nicholson, possibly because of like his addiction to alcohol, like the him coming off of that. But there's these moments of like the supernatural, like this ghost bartender coming and kind of serving him. And I there's almost like an element of like possession as well, you know, where the it almost seems like the hotel itself is possessing him as it goes. I mean, obviously none of this stuff's like set concrete. I think that's why this movie is so fascinating, is because it is so abstract and there's so many different ways to look at it. But yeah, this is one of those first scenes where you're like, wait, this is not what, or this has the potential, anything can happen now, essentially.
Yeah, agreed. That's where the switch flips and you're like, oh, like reality is no longer a thing. And I'll say Lloyd is one of my favorite characters, the bartender. Love that guy. Thought he did a really good job. Yeah.
And great classic bar. Yeah.
Yeah, he was such a great bartender. Like you can just tell, like, that's Lloyd. You know, you tip Lloyd extra. Let's just say that. Like Lloyd earned it.
He's the kind of bartender that's not going to, like, you sit down, he's not just going to start a conversation with you, but if you're in need of a conversation, he'll be there for it, you know?
Lloyd, I bet, is a great listener.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And something along the lines of Lloyd's like, hey, what's going on? And Jack says, one of my favorite quotes in the movie, this one is not an iconic quote, but I like it. I got a problem with the old sperm bank upstairs.
I thought you'd like that one. I heard that at this time and I'd forgotten about it. I was like, oh man, that's so derogatory. It's unbelievable.
And Lloyd's replying is like, women.
That's a great listener move, right? You've just been disarmed with like an exceptionally derogatory comment, and then you just come back with a very basic response. It's perfect.
Yeah. And then Jack winds up a chef. We cut to Chef in Miami. That's apparently where Chef lives. So now Chef is back home living the bachelor lifestyle, shirtless, just with maybe some boxers, laying in bed. On both walls of the bedroom is just a painting of like nude chicks. And I was like, all right. Like Chef, you know, Chef's BTF. Like he's trying to get down. And he's just watching TV or in local news or something. Don't know why we had to watch this, but all right, we did. Nice to see Chef. Nice to check in with Chef every now and then.
Right, yeah. We couldn't forget about him as a character.
Yeah. Wife enters with a bat. Okay, let's see. Wife enters with a bat. Tells a wild tale about a woman in the bathtub of room 237. Jack nuts up and is like, all right, I'm going to go take care of this. So Jack enters room 237, which is now open. And he's like, all right. He's walking around. Goes into a very cool bathroom. Very neat.
Yeah, it was a cool bathroom.
Then you see, this movie had so many cool bathrooms. All right, there's one that was like red and white.
Yeah, the one where he meets Grady.
Yeah, the waiter. So Jack's like, all right, does he have a baseball bat? I don't know. I don't know if he grabbed the bat or not.
I don't think so.
Walks in to room 237, goes to the bathroom, and there's somebody in the tub. Again, this is like, what is happening? And I was thinking, okay, this curtain's going to pull back, and it's just going to be like a monster. Nope. Curtain pulls back, full nude, full frontal. I'm like, God, the 80s were like not shy about full frontals. Like,
everyone was just hyped up on cocaine, man. Morals were out the window. They were riding the high from like 10 years ago. It was the 60s and they couldn't even, you know, show two people in the same bed.
Yeah. I mean, so this lady gets out, appears to be every bit of like 7'2" when she steps out of the bathtub. I don't know why she seemed so tall. Like, I thought this woman was like a giraffe when she like crawled out of the bathtub. And then she starts walking, and she walks up to Jack, and Jack's like, all right, like, hell, this season just got a little bit better. Like, I can ditch Kmart over here, and I'm going to hook up with little Macy's over here with this hottie, right? So he starts hugging this girl. Maybe they're, like, making out, right?
They're making out. It's full, so Jack's full on
making out. Yeah, he's making out with this lady, and you kind of just feel something shift.
Yes.
And the camera like changes angles and comes and pulls back, and his beautiful woman has turned into, the only way I can describe it is, a coworker named April. Okay. I have a coworker named April, and this woman could be her twin. Okay. The gorgeous woman has now turned into what can only be described as the monster that I was expecting. When you first, you know, she first pulled back the curtain. I mean, full nude. This woman was every bit of 100.
Yeah, well, it's a rotting corpse, man.
Okay. Rotting corpse.
She starts out, I guess, maybe not rotting.
You can, there's rot there. There's okay. rot. You can tell there's early rot.
Stage one rot.
Stage one rot, for sure. It ain't going back. Let's just say this. It ain't curing itself. You're done. Right. Like, what's rotted is rotted. Like,
right.
That's not going to go. But it's possible that there's no advancement of the rot.
Right.
We you and I both know there's going to be advancement of the rot. Okay. So now this lady, buck naked, like 100-year-old, sitting in front of them. And this movie is now full-blown gone bananas. I expect everything. Nothing is going to surprise me. I really like it. Okay. I really like it. And then Jack just glosses over the new grandmother when he goes back to Dollar General. Like when he goes talks to his wife, he doesn't mention.
He's like, no, nothing's wrong. No one's there.
She's like, anything wrong with room 237? He's like, nah, it was a little hot in there, maybe. I don't know. It was fine. So mom and dad talk about Danny tries to sleep, but his mind is absolutely destroyed. And we see Red Rum, which is another iconic
scene. Oh, yeah. I got to put that in my iconic scenes.
We see Red Rum make an appearance. I think it's just the words, if I'm not mistaken. And the blood floods back, right? So Danny is not going to get a good night's sleep for a while. Let's just say this, all right?
Yeah, but insomnia is in his future.
Yeah. Jack now goes absolutely apeshit on his wife. Okay, just say if she had any hope that things were going to be okay.
Not anymore.
They're not. Now Jack is like, man, you know, marriage sucks, life sucks. He goes back to the gold room, and there is a well-packed ball.
Oh, it's a full-on party, baby.
Full party. We're party like is...
Roaring 20s.
Roaring 20s, okay? Jack's rocking a velvet members-only jacket in this scene. And I'm like, where do I get a crushed velvet members-only jacket?
Yeah, that's pretty sick.
Gotta get a special edition. I believe he talks to, so he meets a woman in this little party. He's like talking to a woman, and then he starts, like a waiter walks into him. What did you say his name was? Grady?
Grady, yeah. Right?
Okay. So Grady runs into him, spills a drink on Jack. They go to the bathroom. I couldn't tell you what happens at this point. I'm just like, I don't know who's real. I don't know who's fake. Like, is this a delusion? Are these actual ghosts? Wife plots her escape. Danny repeats Red Rum. And then you get the, I'm going to butcher it. Danny's not here, Mrs. Torrance.
Oh, yeah.
It's like...
so terrifying, yeah.
Yeah.
Danny's friend and his index finger, just, he's there.
Tony. Tony pops up again. Jack destroys the radio transmission. Chef flies from Miami to Colorado. Why on earth? I guess he just has a feeling.
And he's got that car. Shine.
He does. He rents a car. Okay, so the shine is the ability to read minds, right?
Yeah, it's the ESP ability, which... In the book, you know, the relationship between the cook and Danny is stronger over their mental telepathy.
Okay. I don't think they ever really.
Yeah, it's very a little. He's like, what's up, doc? That kind of thing. Yeah. It shows him, gives him some ice cream. That's about it. Well, that's all it takes for a 5-year-old, right?
That's right.
That'll leave an impression. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why those milk cartons were so full of missing kids.
Exactly right.
They're very, back then especially, very trusting, I'm sure. So the mom grabs the baseball bat and goes looking for Jack. Okay. This was a cool scene. This is where she finds the pages that just say, all work and no play make Jack a dull boy. And that is another iconic thing that I've seen a lot of references to. Okay. She's going through these pages. I don't know what she was expecting to find, because she looked through about 100 pages and they all said the same thing. And she just kept like, whoa, we're like, what are you, you just found 100 pages in a row with the same thing written in different font.
She's just shaking like a leaf. Yeah.
Yeah. So this was probably my favorite scene of the movie. Okay.
This is the stairwell scene?
Yes.
Yeah, it's great.
That was such a good scene. Okay. So now Jack Nicholson is like, girl, calm down. All right, I'm not going to hurt you. And it has every intention to hurt her, right? So she's like backing up with a baseball bat, going up that very nice, you know, staircase of the lobby of this really nice hotel, 1980. And she's like swinging the bat, like, get away. And then they get to the top of the stairs and Jack like reaches for her, and she like, and it almost looks like it's inadvertent. She's just swinging the bat and hits his hand. And the way he reacts to that is like, like it was so genuine and real. And then I was like, that's, I was like, in my head, I was like, that's cool acting. And before I could even get the thought out, Shelley Duvall just goes, Bruce, up on the side of Jack Nicholson's head. And first off, the
Ragdoll physics. Yeah.
The stuntman.
Incredible fall.
Let's see.
Jesus. I'm so glad you appreciate it.
God, this guy, like 6 foot tall, top of the staircase, goes directly back, head. Bounces off the stairs, does a whole flip, does another flip. I'm like, God, like he wasn't going shoulder, shoulder, shoulder.
No, you know,
that's
it's
an easy
like,
way to go down. He was going the hard way. There's an easier way to go down the stairs, which is where you kind of go, you know, perpendicular, right, yeah. You know, with the stair. And then he kind of like shoulder, 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 shoulder. And then there's a really.
But there's like no tuck on his flip. It's just like a flat pancake flip. It's
that
incredible.
That head bouncing off those stairs. Bro, I watched this like four times. I'm like, I was like, oh my God. It's like zooming in like NFL replay. I was like, Jesus, that guy earned his check. I don't know what he won. I don't know if he won a stunty. I mean, I assume that's the award for stuntman. I don't know what's going on. But
there needs to be a stunty.
There's got to be stunties. Dylan Duvall runs off. And at this point, Jack has just been knocked the F out. Falls down the stairs. Wendy drags Jack into a food room. Oh, I mean, just get the food out first. So now you can eat the food with Jack in there. You know?
That's a good point. Yeah, you're holed up. There's pretty much no way out at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Don't go locking him in the food room. Why don't you go lock him in another room, you know? So
this second villain we've seen locked in a freezer as well. The Raptor in Jurassic Park. These movies just keep folding back in on themselves.
When you mentioned villain, I just thought human. I'm like, oh, what human was locked in the freezer? And then you go, the Raptor.
And the Raptors are definitely like the horror movie villain in that film.
Yeah, that is true, but they don't have a credit. And it's not like Raptor 1, Raptor 2. Like, so now Jack's locked in the I thought it was a freezer, but it's not. It's like a trash storage. And so he's just like in this room with all the good food.
Okay, so, yeah. Maybe you're probably right. Pantry.
Yeah, so he's in there. He's in a pantry. Locked in a pantry. Very, very secure pantry. He ain't busting out of this thing. Ain't like on the other end, it's just a hook and a little latch. No, this is a legit, you know. So he's in there. And this is when I was like, okay, I don't know if these are ghosts. I don't know if these are hallucinations. Because the waiter, Gordy, up and just opens the door.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. Like, that's the moment to me where it's like, oh, okay, so we're not just dealing with a psychological break in a person. Like, this hotel is actually haunted. Like, there's no way around it.
So now Chef is on his way up to the hotel. Okay, Chef is coming to the rescue. He's laying in his bed in Miami. He's getting the premonitions. He's got the ESP going with Danny. He's worried. He flies from Miami to Colorado. You know, he travels up the Sidewinder. He has to rent a car. It's a blizzard. No one's going up there. He's not even in a car. He's in like a
snowmobile, basically.
A snowmobile going up this mountain to save Danny and the wife. And he's so worried. And Chef finally makes it.
It's about 2 seconds in.
Gets maybe 12 feet in the door, and Jack Nicholson hits him square in the chest with an axe. And I was like, what a fizzle for the chef.
It's so disarming, though. Like, you're just like, there is no hope for these two people.
No, the chef was it. He was the hope, and he just went through a lot just to walk in the door and be like, honey, I'm home, and then just axe straight to the chest. And I was like, oh, my God, this is absolutely insane. Has Jack axed down the door yet?
No. Jump ahead? That's next.
Okay.
Right? So, wait, no, actually, now I'm struggling with my order sequencing. I watched this last night, too.
Yeah. So before that, or Shelley Duvall, Dollar General, locks herself in the bathroom. Jack's coming with the axe, and that's the scene where Jack beats down the door. Okay, this is the scene that everyone, this is probably number one on your list. I don't know your list, but it's probably number one. And then pokes his head in and goes, here's Johnny.
That
here's,
what he says? Yeah,
here's Johnny. Okay. Another icon, right? And we see that red rum is murder backwards. Like we see it in the mirror. Like Danny's got it in the mirror. And in the mirror, like the door closes, which is a cool scene. And you finally see that, oh, red rum is murder. But now the iconic scenes are just like falling off the ladder. Chef walks in, gets killed immediately. So yeah, he does get killed after.
After the accident, yeah.
After the accident, yeah. And really cool when Jack Nicholson was like beating the door in and Shelley Duvall like cuts his hand with the knife. I thought that was very well done. Like that's exactly what would happen. Like that's a very realistic, you know, scene. So now mom.
I like that Shelley Duvall in this movie is not a helpless. She's pretty smart, actually. She does exactly what you would do in this situation,
yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think she had the right, she's made the right moves at all turns. She had the baseball bat in hand. When maybe some people would have been like, no, we can still work this out. No, she knew right away. Like, we ain't working nothing out. Like, So mom runs around. The way the mother runs, the way Shelley Duvall runs to the house to avoid the bat was hilarious. Like, running like one of those like air creatures outside of a used car dealership, you know, the ones that just like flail around
Yeah,
with
she
the
does have
arms.
that.
Yeah. So just running like a wet noodle.
Everything about her is eccentric, all of her movements.
So she became one of my favorite parts of this movie. She enters the maze. So now Jack's chasing her through the maze. See if, or no, Jack's chasing Danny through the
Dude, Danny
maze.
also with his footsteps retracking. I mean, that's just some smart 5-year-old moves right there.
So Jack's chasing Danny, running around the maze. Jack ain't doing so hot. Kind of seems to be running out of steam a little bit. And very unsatisfactory ending for old Jack, because he kind of just has a panic attack or something and just like sits down and chills, and literally and figuratively, and just freezes to death. Like he doesn't, like
Yeah.
it's the way he goes out is kind of a weird one, you know?
Well, if you think, well, I don't know how to, I don't know. Maybe because he's outside of the hotel, he's not quite as possessed and doesn't have that kind of like supernatural power. I don't know. I thought about this a lot, but yes, I agree. He kind of like just peters out there at the end.
Very, very unsatisfactory ending for old Jack. And then the mom finds the blood flood. Like now we have the actual blood flood. She sees it. Like she's there to witness the actual flood. It's not just some kind of premonition. Mom and Danny meet up. They get in the snowmobile. Jack falls asleep in the cold and freezes to death. At this point, I'm like, okay, mom and Danny are in the snowmobile. Chef's dead. Jack's dead. And we get that kind of well-known scene where he's just sitting frozen.
Right.
Just like, I didn't know what movie that was from. Seen that image 1,000 times in my life. Had no idea what movie that was from.
Right.
Now I do. Okay. And then we go back to the hotel. The camera is just staring straight at a wall of photos. And we
Yes.
zoom in on a photo. Slowly zoom in. We see an old party, like 1920s. And as we're zooming in, you can see Jack Nicholson is in the photo on a date of July 21. What the hell is going on? Landry, explain.
There's no explanation except for that. You're exactly right. This hotel is the fourth character in the movie. It is haunted AF. It's one of the best haunted place stories I think I've ever seen. It defies logic, it defies reason, but it's still a very haunting movie that, for some reason, sits with me every time I see it in a very real way. So,
And that's it. The end.
the end.
Cue of the Aquamarine title cards.
Yeah, man. So many iconic things that you mentioned in your notes. And let's think about those iconic scenes real quick. See if we can't rank some of those. Because I think if we're talking about the historical context of this film, I think it did have a lot of influence on the genre of horror, just, you know, leveling up. That this might be like even considered like an art house horror movie in some ways. I'm kind of leveling up the from like a grindhouse B movie to like a real dignified cinematic experiences. To even in 2024, a horror movie, a body horror movie, was nominated for Best Picture. But anyway, most iconic scenes. You said you nominated Here's Johnny Axing. That's number one, you think?
I would say that's number one. Well, the axe scene, like beating the door
Yes.
down, pokes her head in, here's Johnny.
I think that's number one as well. For me, we can put that at number one. The other ones I had written down were the two sisters in the blue dress,
Yes, that's my number two.
the blood flood pouring out of the elevator. I think my number two is actually Red Rum. I feel like Red Rum is everywhere. All work and no play make Jack a dull boy. And then the image of Jack freezing to death as well. I don't know if there's others, but there's a lot of others that stick out in my mind. Like just simply the shining or the hotel floor, that pattern of the hotel floor. I feel like that shows up in a lot of places as an homage to the, or even the tricycle floating along.
Okay,
But
my number three is having trouble with the old sperm bank upstairs.
that is a crazy line for sure. The most caught off guard line for sure.
No, I would say with you, I've got Axe 1, Twins 2, and then it's just I couldn't really put them in order, but it would be the same you had. Blood Flood,
Yeah.
Frozen Jack, All Work and No Play Make Jack a Dull Boy. So I would throw in Danny Isn't Here, Mrs. Torrance. Like that's a like
Yeah.
that's I've seen that. Maybe not
Yeah,
be
the
as
Danny.
iconic. I put that on the same level as the shot at the typewriter where it's like or when Shelley Duvall catches the writings with All Work and No Play Make Jack a Dull Boy, as she's approaching it, it's almost very similar shot from like the bottom up, and it creates this really cool scene.
Yes. Yeah. For sure. Yeah, there's
But
so many iconic moments. So cool. What what did not work for you in this movie? Is there anything that didn't hit for you?
I would say no. For what it was trying to accomplish, it did it. And I was entertained. Kept my entertainment kind of, you know, like a nice steady roller coaster. It went up. It was well paced. I thought it kept me, you know, curious at times. And then once the reveal happens, I'm like, what? Like, if I can sum the entire movie up in one word, it's just, what?
Well, yeah. yeah, I feel that.
Yeah. And it was fun. Yeah.
So this movie's 45 years old, which is wild to me. It does feel timeless when you're watching it. Like, it's just kind of like this time capsule. Do you think, say, when we come around its 75-year anniversary, the year is 2055, is this going to, my math is garbage, 20, wait, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, is it going to hold up?
I would say yes. Because, you know, it's half paranoia movie, half ghost movie, half horror movie, half thriller, you know, keep you on the edge of your seat. It's stuff like this will be timeless. Yeah. I mean, it's well done. Stanley Kubrick did a fantastic job. Well done.
When you're trying to make a timeless movie, just make a film with four halves, and that's a great start, you know? Who stole the show for you?
The hair.
The hair stole the show for you. Unwilling to give Jack Nicholson his due credit. I thought you were going to say Dollar General or West Virginia or Kmart.
I liked DG. She was good. I really did. I thought she was good. She grew on me. She grew on me the same way like Carmelo Soprano grew on me over the course of 10 years. Where at first I did not care for her in the first early seasons of Sopranos. And by the end, I was like, she's amazing.
Yeah. Carmelo Soprano also has, as I remember with that show, like she starts out like really young and kind of bratty and just in an annoying age. And by the time the show's over, she's like 23 or something, 24, right? Is that right? Carmelo's the wife.
The wife.
I thought you were talking about the daughter. Sorry.
Meadow? No. Carmella.
Okay. Yeah. Apologies. Yeah. The wife character is great.
Nurse Jackie. Is that what she went on to do? It was a big hit, right?
I never watched Nurse Jackie. I never watched it. Sopranos, it's been a long time, obviously.
Yeah. I think Nurse Jackie was Showtime. And I was an HBO household. We didn't have Showtime. So I couldn't watch Nurse Jackie, but I could watch Sopranos.
That's fair. Yeah. Well, I never subscribed to Showtime once in my entire life. I can say that with confidence. However, I remember pirating Dexter whenever it came out. So for me, Jack Nicholson steals the show of this movie. I just think that he has such a physicality to his performance, such a almost like a manicness to his performance in this that it really gets to me. There's like Ike, like these kind of like on the verge of sanity roles. Like I really like Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight, Jack Nicholson in this, Jack Nicholson, the Joker in Batman. Those are just fun roles. Like I'm always like, I wouldn't say like, you know, they're my favorite roles of all time or anything like that, but I'm always fully entertained by them. You know, like it's hard for me to look away at the screen whenever they're on. I give this movie a 5 out of 5, 5 stars. It's one of my top 10 favorite movies of all time. And what do you think, Tab? Where are you going to give this one?
4¼ stars.
4¼. That's pretty good. Is
4.25.
Is that your highest, or maybe Social Network's your highest so far?
I think I gave something a 5, didn't I?
I can't remember. Goodwill Hunting, Social Network, and The Shining have all been pretty high on your list.
I think I gave Goodwill Hunting a 5, if I'm not wrong. I could be wrong. I can check the notes. But
I think you were wavering, for sure. Yeah.
I'll have a detailed list of our scores next week. I mean, that'd be fun at the end of the 10th episode. We do a summary of all our scores.
Oh, that's, yeah. Rank them. Absolutely have to do that. No question. Yeah.
Be fun.
Maybe make it into like a little short video, a YouTube short or a TikTok or whatever, as the kids say. All right, guys. Well, that is all the time we have here, but you can write into us at blastofthepastcast@gmail.com. You can tell us what you think about The Shining. You can recommend to us another movie that we should view for the next watch that we do, or you can just ask us a question about a film from the 2000s or the 90s or the 80s. We're pretty well versed in a lot of this pop culture stuff, so we can give that a shot as well. Thank you very much, and we will see you next time.
All right. See you, bud.